City Well. My name is Kelby Brown. I'll be preaching the sermon today. I'm going to start by reading our passage from Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 21. It should be on the screen behind me in Spanish. So listen with me. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, if heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Father, we ask you to open our hearts and minds to hear this word from you. We love you, God. We bless your name. Amen. It was 1956. The African-American community of Birmingham, Alabama, had spent the last 11 months boycotting the bus lines in protest of segregation, which meant most people had to walk to and from work every day in the blistering Alabama heat. On November 14th, after almost a year of nonviolent protest, the U.S. Supreme Court finally declared segregation on buses unconstitutional. In a speech to the activists the following day, Dr. Martin Luther King said this: "So remember that freedom is not only from something, but to something. We have a duty to be free. And when I say we have a duty, I mean it just that way, that we have a duty because of God's command to keep all of us in the whole of humanity level. And we have a duty to be free because a lack of freedom gives persons who are segregated a false sense of inferiority. And it gives those who are sitting up to the front of the bus on the basis of the fact that they are white a false sense of superiority. We have a duty to ourselves for our self-respect and before the Almighty God to stand up for freedom. That is a duty we have." Now, it sounds strange to hear the words duty and freedom used in the same sentence. They seem somewhat paradoxical. How can you have a duty to be free or be free to have a duty? We think of a duty as something we would rather not do, and freedom as being able to do anything that we want. So if we're free, we'd be free from duties, right? Well, that's not the way Dr. King saw it. As he said in his speech, freedom is not only from something, but to something. And he's right. Think about it. Both freedom from segregation and freedom to be equal are necessary. Freedom from the shackles of injustice and freedom to uphold justice are equally necessary. See, this is how freedom works. Freedom from a negative means freedom to a positive. And in our broken world, what we most often need is freedom from a lie and freedom to the truth. Yes. See, segregation was based on a lie, the lie of inferiority. One must sit on the back of the bus because he or she was inferior to those at the front. One must order from the back of the restaurant because he or she was inferior to those sitting inside. But City Well, a lie is not real. It's false. So this duty to be free was not a duty to earn freedom. It was quite the opposite, actually. because freedom was already the truth and segregation was the lie. No matter what the government said, no matter what the policemen enforced, no matter what was written above the water fountains, above the bathrooms and lunch counters, saying whites only and coloreds only, the truth was that all people were equal. So the duty was not to earn freedom, but instead a calling into the freedom that already existed all along under the surface and had been covered up by lies. It was a calling into the freedom that was already true, but not yet realized. The duty to be free was no duty in the ordinary sense. The duty was itself freedom. Now, Dr. King did not come up with this himself. The Apostle Paul wrote about it 2 millennia before. But if Christ is in you, Paul says, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, the God who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit that lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Therefore, because you have the spirit of adoption as children of God, the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the spirit that guarantees the redemption of our bodies, the spirit that intercedes for us with groans too deep for words, the spirit of which the psalmist wrote, where can I go from your spirit and where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Since this spirit lives in you, Citywell, Paul says, you have an obligation. We have an obligation. But this is no ordinary obligation, just as King preached, no ordinary duty. This is not a negative obligation, something we would rather not do but are forced to. It is not an obligation to the sinful nature, to evil, to the lies of Satan, or to death. No, it is a new and different obligation. It is a calling into discipleship, a gift of new life, an invitation to walk through the door of righteousness. It is a beckoning into that which we are meant to be and indeed already are, but have not yet realized it. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, Paul writes, but you received a spirit of adoption as children by whom we cry, Abba, Father. See, Paul knows it's natural to fear this great and majestic calling. It seems to be too much for us, and we each have different reasons for fearing it. In the book of Numbers, we see Moses and Aaron tried with all they had to convince the Israelites to follow the Lord into the land that was promised. But when the opportunity came, the Israelites were scared. They said to Moses, it does flow with milk and honey. See, here is its fruit, but it devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. See, the Israelites were crippled by fear, feelings of inadequacy and timidity, even after the Lord had delivered them time and time again. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see them cry out, ah, if only we had died in Egypt, because they were afraid to walk into that which the Lord was calling them. Even Dr. King had to convince masses of oppressed people to overcome their fears of the powers that be, to awaken from their contentment to the status quo of inequality, and to stand up boldly and march into the freedom that was rightfully theirs. You see, Citywell, fear is the lie, but freedom is the truth. We need not be enslaved by fear, because as Paul writes, the Spirit of Christ testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Citywell, this is who we are, children of the Almighty God and co-heirs with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the whole of creation longs for us to be who we are. For the world has been subjected to the futility of humankind, ruling as we have ruled and been ruled over. with hatred and greed, with war and violence, destruction and exploitation, with white supremacy, all else inferiority, with the big I first and all else second. But as co-heirs of Christ, we are meant to steward, to uphold, to uplift all of creation just as Christ did, with peace, with harmony, with justice, equality, with joy and humility, and above all else, love. This is our duty, our obligation, our calling, our gifting, our true identity, Citywell. This is our freedom. Now, God just happened to give me this text at the beginning of the summer, so I've had to meditate on it for 2 months. And it was just as my wife, Angel, and I have been trying to discern our future. But God's timing is perfect because I needed this. See, Citywell, I believe that God has anointed me to become a husband, a father, a friend, a community member, an advocate, a doctor, a neighbor. God is inviting me to walk into all that I am meant to be, but it's scary. I've been afraid of becoming too busy, of not being able to handle multiple responsibilities. When I tell people I'm starting med school, most of them scoff and say, good luck with that, right? It's just a joke, but there's some truth to it because it's real. And I fear that I'm not ready to become a dad. I feel like I'm still a kid in a lot of ways, and I have no idea how to take care of a baby. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on my daughter's life because of medical school, residency, everything that comes along with being a doctor. More than anything, I'm afraid of what this means for Angel, because she's having to put her dreams on hold for me while I get to follow mine. But God is showing me, Citywell, that to hold myself back from all that God is calling me into is slavery. But walking in faith is freedom. Giving myself for my wife and my baby girl, my family, my friends, my church, my city, my patients. This is what it means for me to be free. These duties and obligations are actually my invitations into life with Christ. And I need not be afraid of what the Lord has given me, the Spirit, and equipped me with to do. Everything that I need to be and who I am, God has equipped me for. And Citywell, I believe the Lord wants us to hear this as well. So what does it mean for each of us individually to be who we are? Does it mean generosity? Maybe buying an old car and giving it away instead of buying a new one to keep? Maybe opening up a guest bedroom for someone in need? Does it mean boldness? Standing up for what you know is right, even when there are powerful voices of evil all around you? Does it mean using your privilege to make a difference for those without it? Or does it mean mending a broken relationship that wounded you so deeply that you never trusted anyone since then? Or finally moving past a scar that has crippled you with fears over the years so that you can learn to walk and live in freedom once again? Do you need to put behind you the lies of Satan so that you can walk in who you are, a child of the Most High God? Where's the Lord inviting you, Citywell, to walk into the freedom of who you are? And the Lord is also challenging us as a church body, as he always does, rooted here in Durham, to walk in the freedom of children of God. I've been here for a year and a half, and I've been truly amazed at this church. There's a freedom here that's very rare in the world. But let's still be discerning the new ways that God speaks to us. Can we be a louder voice for justice and peace in Durham, even with a small congregation? Can we be more careful with our political language within our walls so that all people truly feel welcome here? Do we need to overcome our fears of being discounted in a secular society by proclaiming unashamedly our risen Savior, Jesus Christ? Where's God inviting us as a church body to walk into freedom? And Citywell, let us not be afraid to walk across the Red Sea, to march around the walls of Jericho, and to inhabit the land of promise. Let us not be afraid to walk to and from work in the blistering heat, to march across a bridge from Selma to Birmingham, and to inhabit the land of opportunity. Let us not be afraid to walk a journey of pain along a suffering neighbor. to march down the streets of Raleigh and demand an equitable society, and to inhabit Durham as if the Lord were using us to bring heaven to earth. Let us not be afraid, Citywell, to be who we already are, but have not yet realized it. For we do not have a spirit of slavery to fear, but a spirit of the freedom of the children of God. So, Lord, let it be in Durham as it is in heaven, and empower us to make it so. Break the chains that enslave us to fear as we endure sufferings of all kinds, persecution because of your name, and intimidation by the forces of evil. For we know that your plans will not be thwarted, and your kingdom will reign forever. Our trust is in you, Lord. Our trust is in you. Amen. Thank you.